Welcome to the podcast that discusses the top stories in the world of professional wrestling. Pay-per-views, breaking news, hirings and firings. There's no topic off limits. We'll talk WWE, NXT, and AEW top stories.
This cannot happen!
For the love of God!
Welcome in to High Spots and Headlocks. And it starts now.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, welcome to High Spots and Headlocks. We are back after a long break.
We had a little bit of a break. You've been busy with the whole move thing and getting the house organized and stuff. So I've been busy with our stuff. So here we are. We're back.
Yeah, we are finally back. And it's kind of good because that was probably few of the biggest weeks in wrestling to date for a while, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of content just from that alone. I mean, it's been crazy. A lot of stuff has been happening and it's an exciting time for wrestling.
Yeah. How are you feeling, by the way? Feeling any better?
Not really.
Should we just not go into that?
I really don't want to talk about it right now.
Wow.
That's been a long mess.
Oh, all right. Well, let's just get right into it. We got a lot of shit to talk about here, Bobrowski.
All right, let's do it. So
let's hear this extremely hard trivia question.
I got a really hard one for you, okay?
Okay.
Let me pull it up here. All right. So, two wrestlers were ineligible to be drafted for the initial WWE draft. Mm-hmm. Who were they and why were they ineligible?
Wow. I think one is Ruby Riott because she was injured, right?
I said the initial WWE draft. I'm talking the first ever.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, wow.
Or no, it's Ric Flair and Vince McMahon, wasn't it?
I don't know. You tell me. If you don't know the fucking year, that's a problem.
2004?
Really? Or are we going to guess on the year? That's all you're going to say. It could possibly be this year. It might not be.
It's 2004.
Okay. Wow, are you kidding me with this question?
I was so excited when I thought of this question. I was so excited.
Okay. I'm going to go one of them is Edge for injury. Is that right?
No.
Fuck. All right.
That's a good guess, though. I mean, that's what's always injured back then.
He was always injured. All right, Batista due to injury.
No.
Fuck. I don't know. Just fucking tell me.
All right, it was Triple H and Jazz because he was the undisputed champion and she was the women's champion, and they defended on both brands.
Wow.
Yep. So, schooled you on that one, Eyehausen.
Yeah. That's a fucking stupid question. Seriously stupid. All right, mine's way
awesome, actually.
Mine is way easier.
Okay, cool.
Literally a 5-year-old kid can get this. All right, so mine's about the Survivor Series.
Oh, shit. All
right, so my question to you is, I need to know the first team that basically won with all their members of their team without no eliminations.
A 5-year-old could get this?
Yes, this is super easy.
A 5-year-old could get this.
Yes, I can see you looking dead into the monitor at me.
Yes, a 5-year-old could get this. A 5-year-old didn't even know who the Hulkamaniacs were.
Well, you tell me. I don't know.
I'm guessing the Hulkamaniacs.
What year?
Oh, I don't know. The year they're called the Hulkamaniacs.
I was going to make it, you know what? I was actually going to add another part to the question if you actually got it right, but since you weren't even close.
The Ultimate Warriors?
No.
I don't know then.
Okay. It was 1990.
Okay.
It was the Visionaries.
Oh.
Which was Rick Martel, Warlord, and then Paul Roma and Hercules, Power and Glory.
Okay, so let me ask you. Yeah. What five-year-old would even know who the fuck those people were?
Me.
You're not five.
Well, I knew when I was five because I had it on VHS.
Yeah, but you said a five-year-old could get this.
Yeah, a five-year-old in 1990.
In this time, not a five-year-old from 1990.
Okay.
Come on, Eyhausen. Saying you know, softball and then throwing me a curve.
That was a really easy question.
Was not a real easy question. You watched that tape like 200 times.
Yeah, I did. But anybody with their knowledge of Survivor Series history should have known that.
No.
You should have known that.
You should have known.
Okay. All right. So let's get back into the nitty gritty here, Bobrowski.
All right. Well, so what's going on? What are you talking about? Did something big happen that I don't know about?
This is a pretty solid start. no, we're talking about NXT and AEW, the Wednesday Night Wars, obviously. Starting it up.
Obviously, I know that. I'm just
yeah. So, pretty big deal for AEW, obviously, with the rating they got week one.
Yeah, I was actually – so, I expected them to maybe win, but it wouldn't be by a lot. But they actually won by almost 500,000 people or over 500,000, I think.
Yeah, they got – pretty close to 2 million, right?
No, it was 1.4.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
For AEW.
Okay.
And it was,
I mean, still, for a cable network on a Wednesday night, that's fantastic.
Oh, it's the biggest debut for TNT in the history of the channel. So, yeah, that's a pretty big.
How about that?
That's a pretty big debut.
Yeah.
If anyone at TNT is like, well, we need to, do something about this, they're dead wrong. Even with the rating this week where it did go down, but I mean, you got World Series playoffs right now.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be hard to compete against that at all. So,
yeah, and I think
the fact that they actually had like some of their viewers had to go to True TV to start. It was weird because they also were showing the baseball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was a great rating week one. Honestly, even more impressive week two, just because of the baseball playoffs and,
yeah,
how many viewers were lost. I mean, they still had over 1 million viewers, which is great. I mean, I think NXT had 700,000, which, again, isn't bad for what it is. But
they only dropped a little bit. It wasn't even 700. It was like they went from 890, I think, to like 810 or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't that far of a
– or maybe it's 795. It was really close to – it was less than 100,000. I know that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So – what did you think of the – let's go with, like, the production. What did you think of production for Dynamite?
Oh, I mean, AEW has probably one of the coolest-looking sets I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it is kind of the basic-looking set they've used, though, for all their pay-per-views.
But it looks so high production compared to what NXT looks like.
Well, yeah.
I mean, part of that's because NXT right now is doing a room that can hold 1,500 people as opposed to – arena that can hold 5,000 to 10,000 people for AEW.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's any comparison to that. I mean, AEW, as far as production value, way better than what NXT has, and probably will be for a while until NXT moves.
I don't know if it's going to be that long, Andy. I saw a rumor this week saying that NXT was talking about going on the road.
Really?
It's already being discussed because they don't want to look second fiddle to AEW, and right now NXT definitely does.
Right, and I don't blame them because it does look way better as far as the TV show, as far as the live crowd. I mean, you got pyro. It looks like a major wrestling show, doesn't it? I mean,
AEW looks basically like WCW would look now.
Right.
Someone made the comparison that the first episode of AEW felt like Nitro without all the shitty booking, and I kind of agree. It feels like it's a big deal. It feels like we're not seeing just another promotion open up. It seems like we're seeing a promotion that has endless potential open up.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, plus if you get into the matches and the storylines aspect, you're looking at probably one of Bobrowski's favorites at as a couple stables feuding each other.
Not only are there a couple of stables feuding, but they did a few things that I already love about AEW. One, they're focusing on Chris Jericho as a main event talent, which I've always felt like he should be. WWE like to fluctuate him between the mid-card and main event, depending on what they needed. But I feel like Jericho's past the mid-card. I think he has been for years. Yep. So I love the fact that he's in on it. I love the fact that they took someone that was underused by WWE, and now he looks like an extreme badass. Has not said a word. He just stands there and stares at the camera.
Yeah, Jack Hager.
Hager looks awesome. I cannot wait to see him wrestle. I even know, he's kind of boring on the mic. But if they do what they're currently doing, where he's like this menacing enforcer,
yep,
that works. That's exactly what they should do with someone that with Jack Swagger's charisma on the mic. I mean, he's not the best on the mic, but he's a big character. I mean, he's an amazing amateur wrestler that they could have turned into the next Kurt Angle. Instead, they turned him into a joke in WWE.
Well, yeah, I mean, look what they're doing. They're basically giving Jericho the mic to hype the team, as they should, because he's,
he knows how to sell anyone in the ring.
And, it reminded me a lot of whenever Evolution started, and Triple H would say something about each one of the wrestlers and how great they are.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much how it started. But that promo that Jericho made last week was fantastic.
Dude, everything that AEW's done so far on TV has been top-notch. And I'm really glad, too, because when I saw the two free events that they had on Bleacher Report Live, I wasn't that impressed. They were okay.
Yeah, just okay. But now they're getting into the production, and now they're really jumping into the storylines a lot more instead of just having random matches.
Yep. I am enjoying it a lot.
So I am too. And I got to be honest with you, we're both WWE guys through and through. Like, let's not kid ourselves. But I am so into AEW right now that really I'll watch. I love NXT, but I'll watch those too. I don't give a shit about WWE right now.
So
I really don't.
I won't say that, but I will say that I don't give a shit about SmackDown right now.
Yeah. Well, you got your boy Kevin Owens going to Raw.
I am happy about that, Eihausen. I meant to talk to you about this the other day, so we'll get into it when we go into the draft.
Right.
But, yeah. I'll have my thoughts on that later on.
Okay. Yeah, let's get back into AEW.
Too far from what we're currently talking about.
Right. All right, so let's see. A couple other things. How about the matches for AEW?
So the matches have been incredible. This is the best part about it. NXT had better matches than AEW the first week, in my opinion.
I agree.
I feel like they were close to second week, but I think AEW edged out the second week.
Because of the tag team match.
The tag team match was so good.
It was really
good. Oh, my God. I did not expect the Young Bucks to lose.
I didn't either. And I'm honestly, me and Josh, who our friend Josh Hensley, he has the same views as I do about the Young Bucks. I like them. I think they're talented, but they're kind of spot monkeys.
They are spot monkeys.
Their matches aren't super entertaining most of the time, but this match was fantastic.
I won't say they're not entertaining most of the time. I just feel like they do basically they use the Jeff Hardy method, which is do a whole bunch of spots. Kill yourselves and get over that way. Mm-hmm. And I like the actual story told in the ring, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they used a lot of creative spots here, too. But Private Party was awesome. I mean, I've never seen them wrestle, so
I haven't either. That was incredible.
Yeah, and a lot of things I liked about them is they were selling throughout the entire match.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Sorry, just to cut you off real quick. That flip that he did backwards out of the ring.
Yeah.
That was insane. I was just thinking the other day how, like, every wrestler does a dive outside now, and it's kind of boring. But that was awesome.
Yeah. No, the ending was definitely unexpected. The selling throughout the match was great. Yep. A lot of false finishes. It was top-notch wrestling.
And another thing I liked was the time limit. So at 10 minutes, they announced that there's 10 minutes remaining. And all of a sudden, the Young Bucks had to really, like, try to put them away. Like, they start, like, really trying to focus in on that time because they're worried about getting the time limit draw and both getting eliminated.
Right.
It added another element to the story of the match, which was great.
Yep. I really like the time limit countdowns they have in the match. I like the fact that the records matter. I really like that a lot.
They don't look like they really matter right now.
Yeah. Well, but no, not really. Cody's undefeated, and he's getting a title match.
Right, but, like, Darby Allin had two losses before he won this match on AEW for the number one contendership. So, like, honestly, they aren't really looking at the records yet as focused as they say they are, but that's because it's brand new. They don't really have anyone with, like, an outstanding record. I mean, yeah, they did Cody because he's undefeated, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about what you don't like in AEW. Anything you don't like?
I mean, there's a couple of things that, like, little things. Like, certain wrestlers I just didn't get, you know, into. Or not really anything I can really think of. But I did think of something. I felt like there was a match that needed – oh, Darby Allin's match.
Yeah.
The last one I felt needed more time to, like, showcase him a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I felt like they could have taken that away from, like, one of the other matches. But
yeah, he is a great wrestler. So I think that him and Jericho next week should be fantastic.
Well, he had, like, a 7-minute match to, like, get him as number one contender. I felt like they should have gave him a little bit more time to showcase him more. That's all.
Yeah. My main concern is the women's division.
Yeah.
There's a couple that are okay in my view, but WWE has the lockdown on most women wrestlers in wrestling right now. So
I mean, you're going to have a really hard time selling that women's division, but you know, one thing they could do to make that women's division a little bit better is go to Tessa right now and get her.
That's exactly right. I mean, she is signed to an Impact contract right now, but if you're looking at who is potentially available on the indies as far as a good women's wrestler, that's the one you have to get.
If AEW wants to compete with the women's division, I feel like they had to get her.
Yep.
If WWE can get her, it's over for their women's division. I feel like for a while.
Yeah, so they just got
Croc come in and do amazing things.
They just got Scarlett Bordeaux too. So that's, I mean, WWE did.
Yeah.
So that's huge for them. That's a big get. They really do have the lockdown on the women's division. I don't really see what AEW can do to compete with that right now. So it's probably going to be a sore spot for what they have on their TV compared to what's on NXT right now, which is their women's division is pretty good. Not as good as it was, but still good talent there.
Right.
And I think I'm a little bit bored by it right now, but you never know. We'll see.
You know, it's a new federation, and you gotta give them some time, definitely. One thing I want to talk about, though, the announcing of AEW. How amazing is it?
Oh, it's so good.
I love it. I didn't realize how much I missed Tony Schiavone's voice in my life. But, man, he is just perfect out there. And Jim Ross with them, like, I love hearing Jim Ross again. Excalibur's again. It's a fresh, awesome announced team right now. I love it.
I do too. I really like Excalibur as the color commentator, play by play. I mean, Jim Ross is all right as to where he is in his career, but Schiavone is fantastic. He's a good compliment. I'm glad they added him. Very good to hear him back. Very good.
Very good. And they had a couple of like clips against each other during the last broadcast I really liked. Like, Jim Ross said something about eating, and Tony Schiavone goes, oh, you didn't miss that meal or something.
Yeah. No, they were funny. And then I think Schiavone called somebody a prick. Who was that? Was it MJF? No.
I think it's MJF.
Was it?
I don't know.
Which, by the way, he turned face. That was crazy.
I don't know if he turned face. I think he's Cody's best friend. He's still going.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I like him as a purebred heel, but We'll see. I just think this roster has so much potential. I mean, even with guys like that they haven't really dug deep into, like Orange Cassidy is my guy. I love Orange Cassidy so much. He's fucking awesome.
I haven't seen anything on him other than like GIFs on Squared Circle. So I'm really excited to see more of him. Did you also find it interesting that AEW also announced the second show?
Oh, The Dark, you're talking about?
That's
a good concept. I like that.
Really cool concept.
Someone kind of like Main Event for WWE, but
It's basically Main Event for WWE.
Right. But it's got some pretty solid I haven't watched it yet, but I understand, it was a good show.
I think next week's AEW Dark is going to have – they had a match on that was like Kenny Omega versus Joey Janela.
Oh, nice.
Hardcore match.
Cool.
Because I saw him do the one-winged angel as a gift on a chair to Janela.
Oh, I guess Kenny Omega won. That's good.
Well, come on.
I don't think he's won a match since in AEW yet.
Yes, he has. He's won – the lower card matches. So he beat someone at Fighter Fest. Fight for the Fallen.
I think he won didn't he win a six-person tag or something?
Well, he won a six-person tag with the Young Bucks, but he also won a singles match against a lower person on one of the other free events.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who. It wasn't anyone that was, like, big, and, like, they talked about how he got, like, a pretty good start against Omega, but, you know, Omega obviously won.
Yeah.
Omega can't win the big matches yet. They're not going to WWE does.
Yeah, what they're doing with him is fine. I just keep him as a low card. You got plenty of main event material right now. You got to build up your new stars. I like it. It's fine. okay. So who won week one NXT and AEW in your mind?
In my mind, NXT won week one. I thought the matches were better, and they had so many title matches, it's hard not to really like the first week of NXT against AEW. But it wasn't by a lot. It felt like the matches were better/more important.
Yeah, I agree with that. I liked the production value of AEW week one, but the matches itself were very much better on NXT, considering all the title matches.
And the surprise returns.
Yeah, the surprise returns. You had a really good match with Adam Cole and Matt Riddle, and it was very good. So I'll give it to NXT week one for sure. Yeah.
Finn Balor coming back to the gold brand is great.
Yeah, smart move.
I really hope that they use the Demon more there because they didn't use him hardly at all in WWE.
Yeah, no, it was a really good move. They might do that with some more talent, I would think, with the draft, but. I mean, very good move. You got a main eventer on NXT right away. You got him right into the title picture with the returning Tommaso Ciampa.
That was my second point. Him returning was a big surprise.
Yes.
I did not expect him to come back for a long time.
Yep.
And so for him to come back and be in the title picture as well, there's a lot of people going against Adam Cole right now.
Yeah, and he's got a match next week already, Ciampa does.
Oh, really? He can too.
Hector Garza, I think his name is.
Oh, so jobber match, okay.
Yeah. and then week two, AEW or NXT, who won?
AEW.
Yep.
Easily.
Yep. And basically what we talked about, right? You had the better matches.
The promos.
Yep. Yeah, the Jericho promo.
The Inner Circle promo was amazing.
Yeah. Yep. And then, the matches were fantastic.
And the ending was good. Just like week one, the ending was really good.
Yeah, the tag team match at the end was good. The ending was definitely good. It had the faces win this week. So I don't know what they're planning on doing for Full Gear, but the Full Gear card, by the way, looks incredible.
Well, yeah, you got Moxley versus Omega, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got Cody versus Jericho.
Yep.
You got, I'm guessing, the winner of the tag team tournament.
Yep, and you're probably going to have the Bucks against LAX, I would think.
Probably. Which, I mean, I'm always going to welcome that. I heard LAX is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's It's looking pretty good right now, Bobrovsky, for AEW. Very, very good start.
Have Jack Hager face like Dustin Rhodes or something.
I think that that's what they're planning on. So,
and then we'll the Pat Hager absolutely just destroy him.
Yeah, so but next week
Hager.
Yeah, next week AEW looks pretty good. You have Darby Allin against Jericho for the title.
Oh, next week's AEW is stacked.
Yeah. I don't remember any of the matches other than that one, though. I know it's really stacked.
But... SCU versus Best Friends.
Oh, yeah, the two tag team matches. Yeah,
And then it was Lucha Express versus Jurassic Express.
That's right.
And I can't wait for that. Or Lucha Bros versus Jurassic
Express. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I got you.
And that's probably going to be a match tonight. So.
It very well could be.
And then you had Moxley and...
Oh, yeah, tag team match. Yeah, Moxley and Pac versus...
Cage.
Yeah, Omega. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
So, solid card all the way around. A lot of tag team matches, though, so...
Yeah, I think NXT doesn't have much next week. I think they have... isn't Velveteen Dream against Roderick Strong, I think, for the North American
title? I would guess they're probably having that match get set back. They might be saving it for a takeover, though.
Oh, yeah, no, that's in 2 weeks, I think. Next week is Dijakovic against Keith Lee again.
Oh, shit. That's cool. That match is insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it'll be another good Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it. Should be great. And then let's kind of talk about let's take a break, and then we'll talk about the draft.
All right. Before we go, though, just to make it clear, so – We said who won each week, but overall, so far, who is winning the Wednesday Night War?
Well, you got to think AEW is winning. I mean, they're winning the ratings. They're having a bigger show production. Great matches, good storylines. I mean, like I said, the only thing that I think is weak is women's division, but they've got NXT beat until NXT moves on the road to play bigger venues.
All right, so I mostly agree with what you said. AEW is clearly winning to me. Not that they keep saying they're not in a war with AEW WWE or NXT, but clearly there's something going on. I would say NXT doesn't have to move to make a better show, but they're going to need to be on the top of their game with these storylines and engaging the fans more because – AEW's doing a great job with that so far. And they already have it, from what I heard, they already have, like, pretty much the first 6 months or so planned out in AEW already.
That's good.
They have, like, weeks of Dynamite already booked. They just got to run them. And, you know, there's room for movement as injuries and stuff happen. But they already have stuff set up for quite a while.
Yeah, that's definitely good to do. I mean, it's much, much different story than WWE right now where things change last minute. So, always very good. And I'm sure the talent is super happy to be there right now, too. I mean, there it seems like they're just pushing a lot of different people. There's not really any talent they're just kind of ignoring. Really good stuff.
Right. All right. I just wanted to get that out of the way there. So,
no, that's fine.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. I'm going to use the loo, as they say in the UK, and then we'll be back.
Okay. See you in a bit. All right. Welcome back. We're going to go right into the draft. That happened this week.
Yes, it did.
And, at least the SmackDown portion. We still don't know what's going to happen on Raw yet, but...
if you go in a certain order, you might.
Yeah. Yeah, because they actually completely ruined the order, right?
Yeah, so what they did was they posted the draft pools for SmackDown and Raw, and it was in a certain order. No one thought anything of it until the draft literally played out in that order.
Yeah.
So you could take the first three rounds, maybe it's two rounds of SmackDown versus Raw on the draft, and if you went Raw, SmackDown, Raw, and then start again at Raw for the next set. It was literally spot on who went where.
I assume the same thing is going to happen here on Raw.
Well, yeah, Yes, but no. They're going to probably change the order now because Vince McMahon found out during the show. And I guess because someone's probably on Squared Circle and saw it. But wow. He got pissed off and they changed it in the middle of it. So the only thing they did was just announce names differently. And they did something weird too. So first they announced Kevin Owens. They switched Kevin Owens and Viking Raiders on the draft order so that would throw people off. And then they also drafted Alexa Bliss and then Nikki Cross the next round instead of drafting them as a tag team to throw people off the scent.
Interesting.
Which didn't change anything other than the order of the draft that we saw it from.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it just seemed like the whole show, I mean, we can get into specifics here in a second, but the whole show was just kind of stupid. I mean, they almost tried to make too big of a deal out of it with using the board, which, by the way, the war rooms, I thought if they used it better, that was a good move, but they looked fucking stupid. Let's be honest.
I think it was stupid because, like, the executives were like cheering about like drafting
Natalya
wrestlers.
And like they drafted Natalya and the whole boardroom goes fucking nuts. Like, come on. Drafting Natalya is like a
like when you get the OC, because that was a big move by Raw to draft all three guys and you get AJ Styles and those three guys. Like, that was a big draft. So yeah, you could celebrate that, but you don't do that for Natalya. I'm sorry, Natalya. I think you're great, but you're not someone that someone's going to pop for when you get drafted. Sorry.
Yeah. They did the same thing with Alexa Bliss, and I was like, come on, people.
Well, and they were stupid, and they didn't draft them as a tag team. Why would you draft both of them to Raw, but do it separately?
Yeah.
So it made USA look like a bunch of dumbasses.
Right.
So now Fox is probably going to have to do something stupid so that they look like a dumbass.
Yeah, I mean,
they had to be like, well, we look really dumb. You got to fix this, Vince.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we can talk about the specifics. Like, I mean, most of the picks were pretty much a given. I know Roman was going to be on SmackDown. I knew Becky was going to be on Raw. But really, the one surprise to me was probably Randy Orton.
That didn't surprise me at all.
Going to Raw.
He's been on SmackDown the whole draft since they redid the brand split.
Yeah, but I don't know. They had Randy Orton in the intro music video for SmackDown, so I was like, he'll probably stay on SmackDown. But, him going to Raw, and then Kevin Owens going to Raw was kind of different. But I think everybody else made sense.
Honestly, the way it went, the two wrestlers I think that should have been switched was Kevin Owens and The Fiend. The Fiend should stay on Raw, and I talked to you about this a little bit.
Go ahead.
SmackDown is – Fox wants SmackDown to be a sports-focused program, okay? That means they want it to be more like UFC. They want real fights. They want real results. They don't want the kookiness of Vince, basically. They don't want the entertainment part. They want the sports part. Why would you draft The Fiend to SmackDown then? He's literally the entertainment part of sports entertainment.
Okay, I have a theory on that. You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. So during their promo videos and promo commercials during the NFL games, whenever they showed The Fiend as like a split second kind of weird, creepy thing, everybody was talking about it. Everybody was asking, what the hell was that scary clown thing? And everybody was talking about seeing that face real quick pop up during the NFL game.
Right.
I have a feeling that Fox saw all the buzz and then wanted him on the show.
Oh, it's stupid because like you had the Fox executives on the first SmackDown on Fox look like they were absolutely clueless during the Funhouse Playhouse or whatever.
Yeah.
Firefly Funhouse. Sorry. They looked absolutely clueless. They weren't even paying attention. Half of them were just talking to each other. Like, it made it look bad. And then they drafted him to the brand. What are you going to do? I mean, you already have this built-in feud with Brock versus Kane. you know, USD rematch from 10 years ago that no one really wants to see. And then what? Like, what? How the draft is shaped up, Brock Lesnar has no opponents to fight, except for the opponents he's been fighting for the last 6 years.
Well, so far. But, I mean, there's still a lot of names on Raw.
And if you did the order thing with the original order of the drafts to the Raw drafts, it's going to be all his same opponents.
Is it really?
Samoa Joe's going to be going to SmackDown. And the only person not going there is Seth, and he's going to be on Raw.
Well, right, yeah. I figured Seth's going to be on Raw for sure.
But I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to be entertained on SmackDown side at all to me.
Yeah, and Braun's on SmackDown, right?
Yeah, so you got Braun versus Brock for the 8 millionth time after Kane Vasquez, probably.
Yeah, and you brought that point up whenever we were talking about the draft, about how SmackDown was wanting to get more of a UFC kind of feel to it. And after the Kane feud, like you were saying, there's really not much there for Lesnar. So, I mean, if Fox wants Lesnar on SmackDown, they're going to have to figure something out here. I mean,
well, you think they're probably going to go with the Fiend soon.
Maybe.
But he's not going to beat Rock.
I think your original thought of Matt Riddle going to SmackDown is a great move.
Yes.
And I think Riddle versus Lesnar would be very entertaining as a feud. As a new feud, too, because Riddle's legit. I mean, he's absolutely a legit MMA guy. So,
you know what would have been a good feud for SmackDown, though? And let me just throw this out there and see how you feel. What if the prize fighter fought Brock Lesnar for the title?
Oh, God, stop it.
You don't think Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar would be a main event that everyone wants to see?
Yeah, but Owens would get fucking destroyed like Kofi did.
He would, but it didn't have to be a 10-second squash.
Yeah, I know you and I.
Owens 10 minutes with Brock Lesnar, it's going to look good.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I don't think I'm starting to come around to the Brock Lesnar hate bandwagon that you've been on for a while.
He's useless. The fact that they get into the title again is the most disgusting thing WWE's done all year.
Yeah, I think he's got
the Saudi deal. So
yeah. I mean that's the reason why they're doing this is the Saudis wanted MMA fighters and boxers to be on that show, which is fine, whatever. Nobody's gonna fucking watch it anyway. But
yeah, but I don't need to see Brock Lesnar as champion to see those matches. It doesn't have to be for the title. It's still as important.
Yeah.
You're trying to sell a marquee matchup with more to sell on it, and you don't have to.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar versus anyone is an attraction. Anyone.
I agree.
It could be Zack Ryder versus Brock Lesnar. People are going to watch it because they want to see him murder him.
Yeah.
You don't need to be for the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship.
I think them doing that, what they did to Kofi was, I didn't hate it, but I understood it. I really do. I mean, you want to give that guy the title for SmackDown.
Oh, I understand completely that they went with Brock. But did you have to make Kofi lose in 5 seconds?
Yeah, that probably wasn't a good idea. Also, what I thought was going to happen did happen, and Kofi came up smiling and
like drawing pancakes.
Lost the title.
He's lower mid card again. Everyone their voice.
Yep.
At least that's what his character's acting like. I mean, he beat AJ Styles, but
yeah,
and drawing pancakes a week after he lost the title, and you don't say anything to Brock or try to get in his face.
Yeah.
You just made Kofi look weak as shit for a second week in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really dispute that. I really do think giving Brock title was smart, but giving him the title for a Kane Velasquez feud is stupid. I think a lot of the things WWE is doing right now with how where they're going with their storylines is really poor decisions, and it really doesn't give the I wouldn't say casual fan, but the hardcore wrestling fans who are watching AEW and thinking about switching, what kind of what kind of storylines are you pushing out there to get people from to stop from doing that? I mean, you're putting part-timers in the main events, and you're still ignoring a lot of your top talent. I mean, Cesaro, like you said, didn't even get drafted.
Didn't even get drafted. One of the most talented guys on the roster didn't even get drafted. Probably going to go to NXT, which is great because he'll put people over there.
It's fine with me.
I would love to see Cesaro with a short NXT title run just because he deserves to have the equivalent of a world title in his WWE career.
Yeah, I agree with that. That would be kind of cool. I mean,
it would be, but just awful that let's just say this. I said this to you again, but I want all my listeners to hear it too.
Yeah, all the fans out there for you.
Right. Lucha House Party got drafted. Cesaro didn't.
Yeah. Heavy Machinery got drafted. Cesaro didn't.
Heavy Machinery is a fine tag team. I'm totally okay.
They are entertaining.
House Party, who has won the equivalent of maybe four matches on the main roster, has basically been a joke act, got drafted over Cesaro.
Yeah.
Who recently had a match, a perfect match against Aleister at a pay-per-view a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it's not looking like a good start for WWE right now. A lot of angry people.
I'm super angry.
Yeah, I mean, you have your lifer.
Raw.
Yeah.
More about SmackDown.
Yeah, your WWE lifers are not one to tune in to SmackDown right now because of how based it's on Brock Lesnar and the same people he always fights. So I get it. I totally get it. Now, it could change on Raw, like I said, but we'll see. Not off to a good start, though. I mean, Raw better come off as good for SmackDown because not looking great.
Also, I just want to go back to the Hell in a Cell real quick because we didn't get talked about that yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think it's time for Seth Rollins to be out of the title picture for a little bit. I felt like that because I felt like Kofi's run was a lot smoother. And I thought The Fiend was the perfect person to take the title away from Seth. It was, honestly, it was a perfect time to pull the trigger too. I'm sure the draft probably stopped The Fiend from winning that match because SmackDown won The Fiend. I'm sure that's going to come out later on. But why did it have to end in a DQ and a Hell in a Cell match?
Yeah.
They say now that it was match stoppage, but why would you stop a match unless the wrestler was unconscious or could not move again? It's a Hell in a Cell match. It's literally there for them to inflict hell on each other and kill each other. That's what the match is built on. Triple H has used the sledgehammer in every Hell in a Cell match he's been in. Never has the match stopped because of it.
I mean, there was a flaming barbed wire bat in one of the matches, for God's sakes.
It makes no sense. If you want to do an ending like that, instead, you do the exact same ending, but when he goes to remove the stuff and pin Bray, Bray's gone.
Yeah.
That's the end. You don't know where the Fiend went. He just disappeared. Or, you know, he disappears, comes back, hits the mandible claw, and then disappears again. He didn't need the title. He just wanted to prove to Seth that he was better. Like, he destroyed him. He's on the hunt. He could go back for a title if he wanted to. You know, that at least opens up possibilities. To have a match stop it because of this is stupid.
It was unacceptable. It was really kind of the last straw for me in WWE pay-per-views because I was actually kind of excited to watch Hell in a Cell to see what they were going to do with The Fiend. But after that ending, I that was it. I mean, I was so upset. Every wrestling fan was. They hated the ending. And honestly, that anybody who thinks that was a good idea is losing their mind.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, I took 2 seconds and wrote a better ending to that match than they did. And
yeah.
I'm sure they could have come up with something infinitely better than what I just said to make it more entertaining. But
yeah,
instead they went with that.
Yeah, and then to kind of go back to Seth real quick. So, obviously, he's still the Universal Champion, and The Fiend is moving to SmackDown. I didn't get to see what the supposed results were going to be for Monday, like you do. But who are they going to have beat Seth? I mean, obviously the Fiend storyline is over. So who are they going to have beat him? Drew McIntyre?
Maybe. I mean, that's really – they drafted him pretty high, so I'm guessing they have big plans now. I can't honestly tell you anyone else that I would think would do it. Like, it makes no sense. It should have been Fiend. It should have been Fiend. And if it wasn't Fiend, it should have been Brock was on Raw and Kofi was champion on SmackDown still, because they're just doing nothing with Seth right now that works.
Well, and the other thing that I thought was interesting is as the ratings come in for USA, he is consistently one of the worst rated segments on Raw, and that's not good to have for your champion.
No, it's not. I like Seth a lot, but I don't like Seth as a face as much as I liked him as a heel.
Yeah.
I think he was a way better heel, and I think they should go back to the heel persona. I just don't think the face works for Seth.
Yeah.
A lot of guys can't pull off the face in today's day and age. I think there's a few people on the roster that can do it, and I don't think Seth's one of them, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see we'll get more of an idea of what's going to happen Monday. I hope they give Seth some pretty decent opponents coming up. So we'll kind of see. I would assume Drew McIntyre is the number one, but, I mean, there might be some more. I just can't think of anybody off the top of my head right now.
I can't either. I don't remember the order on my head. And
to
look for it, it could take me 5-10 minutes because they switched on the website, so you got to find a picture on Squared Circle.
Yep. Well, we'll talk about that on our next podcast. Well, let's just keep kind of going this AEW versus NXT thing.
Yeah.
On our next few, just because, I mean, that's really what's making wrestling fantastic right now.
Of course.
So we'll talk about that a lot. We'll give some more aftermath of the draft next time. But honestly, I think it's time for some football.
You just want to get to the games. That's what's happening.
I really want to watch some fucking football, man. I mean, you were late trying to get here to our podcast.
I wasn't. I was late, but
yeah. That's
the thing. I didn't know my computer had to do 8 million updates from one day after I did updates. So that's not completely on me.
Okay.
I blame the computer. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
End of story.
Okay.
All right. Well, so real quick. Who do you think would be a good opponent to send to SmackDown for Brock? And who do you think would be a good opponent to send to Raw for Seth?
Ooh. Well, I think I already said Riddle. Who can we make believable? You know who I'd like to face against Seth? It would be Daniel Bryan. I think that would probably be a good move.
Ooh, Daniel Bryan could go Raw. I didn't look to see where he was going, but
yeah.
I believe what they did was Roman staying on SmackDown, obviously. Yeah. I know on the order it had Harper and Roland on Raw. I don't know where Daniel Bryan went. I don't remember where he went.
I think that would be a good move to go against Rollins. They've had a couple matches, but
Rollins and Daniel Bryan, they feed it when they were just Shield and they're against Daniel Bryan with the Authority. And then they had a match when Daniel Bryan returned on SmackDown, like a couple weeks after he returned.
Yeah. I'll go with Daniel Bryan and Matt Riddle. What do you got?
I really like that Daniel Bryan. Like I said, Kevin Owens, I think, would be a great match for Lesnar to have. Just because he hasn't fought anyone like that before. Like a big guy that can do athletic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really – I haven't seen that with Rock. Maybe Samoa Joe, but that's pretty much it. And then for Seth, really like your Daniel Bryan, but let's see. Who else could they do here? I mean, they could always go back to AJ, which, I mean, that's probably something they'll eventually do.
Yeah, he's the U.S. champ, though, so I don't know. Got to thank Bobrovsky.
I would like to see Buddy Murphy get a shot at Seth.
Oh, man.
I'm going to pull one out there.
On the Buddy Murphy bandwagon.
I like Buddy Murphy. He's good.
Yeah. What do you think about 205 Live, by the way? The rumors of that going down.
They had a show on Friday, didn't they?
How about that? Yeah, I guess they did.
So it was weird because I thought for sure they were canceled. They canceled the debut on SmackDown. Which I feel sorry for anyone that went and saw that live because they got an hour and a half show for like probably outrageously priced tickets.
Right. Exactly.
Got like one dark match before the match or the card start too, which is awful.
Yeah.
I would be pissed if I paid any kind of money for a 2 hour wrestling event.
Yeah.
It needs to be at least 4 hours. Dark match per hour and the main card. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm glad to see they're around. I think that they could make it just an NXT brand. But I don't know what they're really going to do with that. I mean, the Cruiserweight title is now called the NXT Cruiserweight title.
Yeah, how about that? They might do a different belt, too, because it obviously has WWE right in the middle. So they might be redoing the belt, which would be good because I don't really like the purple strap. But
we'll give it the black strap. And it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Someone had a Photoshop with the black strap, and I was like, holy shit, that looks good.
It looked really good.
Just change the WWE to NXT, give a black strap, you're good to go.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. It looked fantastic.
It did.
I'm thinking next podcast, let's talk about kind of the reactions of the draft, and we can give some predictions on some storylines.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you want, we could do it next week. I mean...
Well, we'll see about that.
Okay.
We'll see.
We try.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try to do it a little bit sooner than a month and a half break that we'll be having this time.
We will.
Okay. Well, it was good to talk to you again. Good to do the podcast again.
Hell yeah! Let's keep it going.
One thing though, before we log off, I haven't said this yet, but
fuck you.
Oh, my God. We went a whole hour without being mean to each other?
Yeah, how about it?
Listeners, I want to take this moment to apologize to all of you. I am supposed to make Andy's life a living hell every week. I just got caught up in the wrestling wars. So I apologize. Next podcast, I will give so much shit to Andy that he will literally be full of shit, which has already happened. So, fuck you, Andy. Fuck you. I hope you get fucked by an elephant. There you go.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'd like to happen to you. I'd like for you to just, you know, be walking down a hallway or something. Somebody come and spears you down a flight of stairs, and then you get a concussion and you can't speak for the rest of your life.
But then the podcast is over.
Yeah, well. That's fine. More airtime for me.
Listen, you talk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, more airtime for me.
No one's going to listen to that.
I will.
Literally, we're losing listeners because they have to listen to you.
I'll listen to that on repeat. All right.
Well, go fuck yourself and enjoy your fucking football.
All right. See you later.
You guys, thank you for listening. Peace.